Good afternoon. Hope everybody's doing well. Had a good practice yesterday. Looking forward to another great one today. Had some great meetings this morning. And I got a big game division opponent. A team we've played four times. So we know a little bit about them. They know a little bit about us. They're a very good team. Their defense is statistically the past 2 years has been as good as any. Pretty much their personnel, front end, middle, and back end are among the best in the league. Really feel like their secondary, a unique secondary as far as their size and range. So they're a good team. Good team. And knee deep in the preparations. Any questions?
When you've got a secondary that is that size, is it good to have a physical receiver like Holden against them? What's the best way to attack size?
I mean, there's a couple different ways to do it, really. I mean, you can attack size with size and say our size is better than your size, and that's one way to do it. And, you can attack it with quickness and say, you can't catch me mentality. You can attack it with, misdirection, that type of thing, try to create a pause in their get up. But they're very good players, and the reality is, however you attack it, you got to execute.
Did you expect to see a lot more man than you saw last week?
They'll play man, they'll play zone. They're going to do what they do, and they'll definitely play some man. You always have to expect man. Really, if a team plays man, you got to go into the game expecting man all the time.
Greg, what?
Is it an easier adjustment going from thinking man and going to zone?
That sounds pretty familiar. Think man, react to zone. Matt. Okay, very good. Very good. Yeah, you always want to run a route thinking man because, it's going to be physical. You're going to have to be physical in your route. And, you can't just run the lines on the paper versus man. You got to get open. If it's zone, now I react to zone. But if you're thinking it's zone and then bam, it's man, then, it's too late. So, yeah.
Thanks, Greg.
You're welcome.
Holden and Kaepernick said they've been on a nice rhythm. Were you surprised at how well that went, in week one? Or maybe not surprised, but how efficient has that passing game been for you guys and also with Vernon?
Not surprised at all, but I mean, the thing that just jumps out at you is he made every play. He made every play. And I think that's something that Anquan's really been doing his whole career. So I don't know that we can sit here and say that, we created that phenomenon. But the reality is it takes more than one guy to have a successful play. So the pass protection was outstanding, and, the throws were outstanding. So that's a credit to everybody. And, those days, every week's not like that. But that was just one of those special days where his number kept getting calling and he kept answering the bell. And it was just a great job by those two guys and the pass protection.
What about the block, Frank and Bruce Miller, mm-hmm. The blocks? How would you evaluate the blocking? Have you got
in pass protection?
Well, I was just thinking in general.
Yeah, there was a lot of really good blocking. That was a tough team we played, and they won a couple of them. But I thought Frank had an incredible day blocking. Bruce had some great blocks in pass protection and in the run game. And, it was a really physical game played by two very good teams. But, it was good. And, there's we saw opportunities where we can improve in a lot of different ways. So it serves us well from that angle as well.
Greg, there was so much focus on read option leading up to week one. Did you know kind of early on that you would not have a huge, package of read option plays?
The first game's always kind of wait and see, and you try to prepare for everything, have contingencies available, and that was definitely one of the themes going into the week was, if they try to take away this, we're going to do that. And that's how it unfolded. Now, if something different happened, then we would have done something different. And it's just every week's different, every game's different. And bottom line is you try to win the game.
Greg,
do whatever you can.
Greg, I understand you script the first few series. After those first few series, how do you choose which play to call? Is it by feel, or do you re-script between series?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, we're having constant conversations. I'll say, hey, wait, you know, what do you think of this? You guys like it? Or no, because of this, or yes, because of that. So our staff, I think we have a good communication flow, and at times, man, it's easy. Anybody can do it. Or you know what I'm saying? It's pretty easy. And then there's times when you got to get a little creative with it, but it's a little bit of both, really. And every game's a little bit different in that regard too, on how it unfolds. Hey, they're playing what they've played, or they've done something completely different. You know, therefore we'll probably do something different. But we have really good communication flow as a staff, and we'll continue to get better.
That communication, is that mostly between series, or could it be even?
It's at all times, really. Yeah, it's at all times. Now, it's not a board meeting, but I think we're getting to the point now where we can kind of communicate a lot more efficiently than we did once we started.
And how has Eric Mancini been involved in that process in the days leading up to a game, and then even during a game?
Oh, he's been great. Very, very thorough work put in, really, on us and the opponent. And, I think, he contributed to the game plan last week, as he will every week. And during the game, he's in the booth with us, helping us upstairs, helping communicate and what's going on and, you know, what just happened and whatnot between series. So now he's doing a great job.
Another set of eyes for you to really diagnose exactly what the defense is doing.
Oh yeah, he's part of our staff, and he's up there, eyes on the defense, and between series, we'll get together and talk.
How will you adjust to how loud the stadium is? Will you be using more hand signals?
It's a loud stadium, and we just got to be very efficient with our communication. It's just something that we need to practice, which we have been, and continue to improve at, because when it's loud, obviously verbal communication really becomes strained. You can't let that strain of verbal communication affect your mental or physical play. So it's just something that we got to continue to work at.
Couple more.
There's been a lot of talk about timeouts and using them at different times. Mm-hmm. Do you think that among football observers, that's a little bit overblown, the idea that you must want to save all your timeouts until the very end of the game? Mm-hmm.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg? If you need a timeout, certainly you'd love to have all your timeouts and never have to use one. It's something that you can always look back on after the fact and say, gosh, I wish we would have had a timeout here or there. And, you're always trying to save your timeouts. But the bottom line is, there's times when you need to use them to perpetuate a drive in the fashion that you wish. Needless wasting of timeouts is inefficient, and it's not something we want to do. Now, is it overblown? I'm sure it is.
You earlier talked about the secondary of the Seahawks. What have you seen from more up-and-coming player Bobby Wagner?
A very impressive player. Started as a rookie last year. Made some really, really eye-catching plays last year. I think two just popped into my head right now where you said, wow, that guy's a rookie. Good player, really stepped in there as a rookie and played at a high level. And it just looks like he's continuing that trend.
I'm having some question marks injury-wise defensively. How much does that complicate your week of preparation as far as not necessarily knowing this will play?
There's some what ifs, and that's just part of the game, and that's the way it goes, and you deal with it, and you adjust accordingly. And they got some guys that they're trying to get back, and if they get back, they get back. If they don't, they don't. The game shall go on. And I think you want to study those guys. And we've got some past history with both three in particular. So. It's really about us.
Was there one play that Kaepernick did on Sunday that really stood out to you, and how well he executed it, whether it was a
run a player improvised?
A couple of them jumped into my head, but a lot of them really. I mean, he's really, really coming into his own as a leader, a quarterback, and a player. And to, you know, we weren't operating on all cylinders as an offense last week, but to be able to have the kind of day he had and lead us to a victory at the end speaks volumes. You know, 400 plus yards passing, no picks, 3 touchdowns, pretty good start for the season. And it's just something we got to continue to improve on, and he's the kind of guy that's going to do that every day.
What were you thinking when you saw Matthews tackle him out of bounds?
I said, that's 15 for us. Let's go. First down, 49ers.
Not worried about whether he got hurt or anything you saw on top.
He's a big, strong, strapping young man, so...